one chosen today is one all of us are familiar with. Actually, it may be one from which you have even shed blood or even cried some tears. And the object is found mentioned in the book of Proverbs, the 24th chapter, verses 30 through 34. Solomon makes an observation, undoubtedly while traveling through the countryside. He said, I went by the field of a slothful man, lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. There's our object. Thorns and nettles. That's why I said it may have caused you to bleed, may have caused you to cry some tears if you stick them in you. Anyway, thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. The fence around his property had been broken down. Then I saw and I considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. I looked in the Bible to see what a nettle was. Now maybe you knew, but I didn't, so I looked to see what a nettle was. A nettle is a plant that has a kind of, I don't know what you would call it, a kind of silky covering that stings you once you get it on you. It's not like a cobweb, but it's kind of like hairs growing out of the leaf, and these hairs kind of poisonous, and they'll burn your skin, irritate your skin. Now, I know what a thorn is. I also read in the Bible dictionary that in Palestine there are around 200 different species of thorns and nettles. That's quite a large number. If there's anything to me that is a bad crop, a bad usage of soil, it's to be used to grow thorns and nettles. You remember, according to Genesis 3:18, that was one of the curses that God placed upon the earth as a result of Adam and Eve's fall. But the curse of pain is not the only problem that you have from thorns and nettles. There is a second curse, and that's what he's talking about here, is that they have a tremendous appetite. They have a tremendous strength and stamina that's almost unbelievable. And that makes them a curse. It's hard to kill out weeds. It's hard to wipe out thorns. They're kind of like fire ants. It's almost, they have such stamina, it's unreal. That's part of their nature. That's part of the curse. You're not going to get rid of it. Now, by sweat and by sore muscles, the farmer in this little story eventually, finally, at one time, had cleared the land of thorns and nettles and weeds. Through that same toil and labor, he had plowed the land. In turn, he had planted the seed. At one point, he was not a lazy man. At one point, you could not criticize him for doing nothing, for he had prepared the field at much labor and at much cost. But for some reason, he neglected to continue on, to keep on going. And he goes off and leaves it. Doesn't take very long for things to return to natural. When he looked out on the field, eventually he realized that all of my sweat and all of my labor and all of my work has been in vain, because the weeds that I got rid of, they're back. The thorns have returned, and the nettles, they're there also. He didn't plant them. He didn't do anything to bring them back. He had to work real hard to get him a crop. But he had to do nothing for the thorns and the nettles to reappear. They did that on their own. They did that without his help. They did that by sheer determination. They came back. Now, the farmer has to help his good plant survive. Not true of a thorn plant. The farmer has to weed and fertilize and keep out the briars and keep out the runners and so forth. But no one has to help the briars and help the nettles at all. Because they're tough. They're hungry. They're determined. Not only that, but they'll waste no time at making a comeback. No time at all. Mary Lou said she was listening to the radio the other day. I think I got this right. And someone said that Annie M. was making a study of nut grass. Now, all of you are familiar with nut grass. They bored a hole in the ground 3 feet deep. Then they put a pipe in that hole and dropped a nut to the bottom, 3 foot down. And they covered it with dirt. And lo and behold, after a while, that nut came all the way up through that pipe, 3 feet of dirt, sprouted and as healthy as it could be. Now, you plant a corn kernel 3 feet deep, you'll never see it again. You know, you plant your flower seeds 3 feet deep, you won't see them again. I can recall, to me, something even more phenomenal than that. When our kids were little, we had a little outdoor above-ground vinyl pool. I think it was one of these about 20 foot around. And that holds a lot of water, folks. I mean, if you try to pick it up, we're talking about, I don't know, I'm going to guess 500, 600, 700, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 pounds. We're talking about a lot of pressure. Underneath that vinyl, we cleared the land off, as the little instruction said. And we covered it with sand, as the instruction said. Then we placed the liner on top of that, and we filled it full of water, 4 feet high, 20 foot around. A lot of water. One day I was out there walking around. I didn't get in very much. I saw too much about water. Anyway, I didn't get in it. But I looked down there, and there was a blade of grass in the bottom of my pool. And it wasn't floating. It was growing. And I said, no way. No way. One of the kids went down there and plucked it, brought it up. And you know, when I looked at it, you know what that is? That's nut grass. It had grown underneath thousands of pounds of pressure, through a thick vinyl liner, buried underneath 4 foot of water, and it was still growing. That's tough stuff. And I didn't encourage it. Now, Mary Lou hasn't had a garden in a couple of years, but she used to plant a garden. You know the first crop she got? She'd sow her seed, and the first thing she got was nut grass. I'd go out there and I'd say, well, you know, the garden looks so pretty. There wasn't a blade of grass. Everything looked so fine. The soil was so soft, you know, and mulched up just right. Now, I'm always pull this old nut. I'm not going to give it a chance. So I'd go out there, you know, I'd get there and dig. I'd pull up about a half a row and I said, man, this is getting old. And I'd quit. And I'd lay off about 4 or 5 days, maybe a week. I'd go back out there and went one end to the other. Solid nut grass. And I'd say, what's the use? Just let it go. Just let it go. Now, that shows you the principle that we're dealing with here. You heard of the law of the jungle, which is the survival of the fittest. There's another law. It's called the law of the soil. I made this one up. The survival of the thorniest. The survival of the weediest. The survival of the nettliest, if there's such a word. What I'm saying is that the law says just simply this: if you leave it alone, if you leave your dug up, tilled, planted, cultivated soil alone, it will always degenerate into a less desirable state. Always. No exceptions. It'll always revert from what you made it to be, something good and productive, to something bad and wasteful. That's the law of the land. That's the law of the briar, so to speak. The work that you do will be undone by the law of nature and go back to being something bad when you made it something good. Now, Solomon said the man in his story was void of understanding. Didn't seem to understand this little principle. But he said, I looked at this and I got understanding. I learned something. That was in verse 32. He says, I saw the situation and I pondered it well. I looked upon it and I gained knowledge. I gained instruction. Now, thorns and nettles and weeds don't belong in the garden. They don't belong in the flower bed. But if you leave it alone, they're going to be there. Whether they belong there or not, they're going to be there. You know, Jesus told a parable about sowing seed, and some of the seed was sown among the thorns. The thorns weren't removed to begin with. And there was no problem, he said, but the thorns choked out the seed. Choked out the life that sprung up of the good wheat. Now, Solomon blames the whole situation on the owner's laziness. Like I said, though, he hadn't always been lazy. At one time, he was very energetic. His problem was he just had the philosophy, well, now the job is done, and I'll just let it take care of itself. And I don't have to work on it anymore. I don't have to be involved in this anymore. I can find something else to do. A lot of people who are said to be lazy really aren't lazy in every single aspect of their life. And when it comes to laziness, a person who is very energetic in just about every endeavor they undertake oftentimes will be lazy when it comes to spiritual matters. Have you thought about that? The person who would never be classified lazy in natural things, work at home, work at the plant, outside activities, always on the go, would also at the same time be lazy spiritually. The hardest thing to do is to keep the nettles and the thorns and the weeds out of your spiritual garden. Nothing is more difficult. And yet no weeds are more strong are more determined to invade your garden. It takes more stamina to keep a spiritual garden free of weeds than it does a natural garden free of thorns. Now, a lot of times we hear the excuse, people say, I'm just out of the habit concerning spiritual things. I'm just out of the habit. What they're admitting is that they have allowed, for one reason or another, the thorns and the weeds and the nettles to overrun their spiritual garden. And I won't talk about this. If our soul is not continually formed for God, if it's not continually weeded and cultivated and dethorned and kept free of these things by us, our spiritual soul will revert to its natural condition. That's a sobering thought. And when that happens, we will be rendered pain because thorns bring pain. We will be rendered stinging hurt because nettles can sting you and weeds can bother you and also complicate matters. If we don't keep our spiritual soul free of thorns and nettles and weeds, that soul will revert to its natural condition. The things that you once overcame will overcome you again. We could just begin with those on the church roll who at one time were very active for the Lord. But now where are they? They have been overcome by what they overcame. They overcame this, which enabled them to have a garden in which they would worship the Lord and nothing interfered. But somewhere down the line, the thorns and the nettles and the briars and the weeds crept back in. And now they have reverted back to the same kind of state that they were in before they ever started. And you look at them and you say, well, what happened? And they just say, well, I'm out of the habit. The guy in the house that Solomon was talking about with his hands folded, he was saying to the people who walked by, hey, man, your garden's a mess. Oh, I'm just out of the habit. Same thing. Now, unattended soil will never produce anything of much value. Just never will. Maybe a few wildflowers. But your soul is capable of continual improvement. The Bible calls this growing in grace. The Bible calls this being more fruitful. This is done just by keeping the garden free of the weeds and the thorns and the nettles that keep trying to reappear. The same things, folks, you got up, want to come back. And if you're not very diligent, they will come back on you. They will come back. I may clean up my tongue, but if I'm not careful, that will come back on me. I can clean out my resistance against immorality. If I'm not careful, that desire will come back on me. If I don't continually work in my soul to keep the thorns out, they're coming back. They're coming back. But that's not the task of a spiritually lazy man. And that's our problem. It takes a lot of time to get rid of the nut grass. That's what I said a while ago. I got tired of that after about the first row. You know, I got tired of it. It takes time to get rid of the thorns. It takes determination. It takes inspection. It takes sacrifice. It takes work. And none of those things interest a lazy man. I'm talking about spiritually lazy. You may not be physically lazy, but you may be spiritually lazy. I find this is one of the great problems I have to wrestle with. And I think one of the first thorns that keeps trying to reappear into our life is the thorn of selfishness. The thorn of selfishness, which continually states the wants of my physical person are more important than the wants of my spiritual person. That you ought to be more concerned about pleasing your body and bringing pleasure to your flesh than you do about your soul. If I ever get to thinking like this, you see, then I won't care about this garden. I won't care about things that need to be taken out of my life. I'll just put them right back in because, you see, selfishness is the first thing I got to get rid of. And that's the first thing that's going to come back on me. I'm going to only think about myself now. Brother, when you begin to do that, you won't have any time to weed the garden. You won't be too concerned about the thorns coming back in. Because those are the things you drove out, removed from your garden. In other words, the argument would be, you have better things to do than spend your time and energy on looking continually at your spiritual state. How much time do you and I spend a day looking at our spiritual state? Now, we do spend a little bit of time looking in the mirror at our physical state. Do we even spend that much time looking at our spiritual state? What's the state of your soul this morning? What's the health of your soul this morning? That takes a little bit of introspection. It takes a little bit of investigation. It takes some looking. Are you better today than you were yesterday? Are you a little bit worse? Do you find yourself thinking more about things you shouldn't be thinking about today than you did yesterday? Do you find some weakness taking place in your life? That takes some time to look at yourself. It also takes some time to cultivate spiritual character. It takes time to work on your manners, your compassion, your concern for other people. It takes time to build spiritual character into your life. It takes time to remind yourself, say thank you, do this, do that, say that, make room for this, be sure you do that. It takes time to put down an agenda that will develop spiritual character in your life and give you a winning personality. It takes time. Most folks are not willing to devote the time. This is why we are lazy spiritually and maybe not lazy physically. It takes time to develop moral convictions. How easy would it be for me to talk you into something? To talk you out of something? How resistant are you to the appeals placed upon you by other people? It takes time to build moral conviction. where I'm not easily swayed by your opinions. How strong opinionated are you, spiritually speaking? That takes time to build those kind of convictions. It takes time to build in you a strong profession of faith in public. Those around you know you're a Christian. By the way you talk, and by the way you act, and by the things that you do, and by the things you refuse to do, do you have a good public witness of your love for Jesus Christ and your moral stand for the Word of God? That takes time. It takes diplomacy. It takes nap. It takes determination. It takes time to wage war on my bad habits. I'm out of the habit of going to church. Are you going to wage war on that? I'm out of the habit of reading the Bible every day. Are you going to wage war on that? I'm out of the habit of praying. Are you going to wage war on that? I mean, there is a battle that must be fought, and lazy folks don't like to fight battles. And so that takes time, and if you don't do it, the thorns and the nettles and the weeds come back on you. And you won't pray. And you won't read the Bible. And you won't go to church. And you won't develop moral character. And you won't develop a spiritual witness. And you won't be able to resist the appeals of the unsaved. I mean, you see, it'll overrun you. It'll devastate you. And you won't bear fruit. You'll be an embarrassment. You don't take somebody out. I wouldn't take somebody in the backyard now and show them Mary's garden. I wouldn't do it. You say, well, come on, I want to show Mary's garden. Why is it a thing of beauty? Today it's a wasteland. I mean, it's the wilderness of woe. There's no telling what's back there in that field. I mean, it's a mess. That's what happens to us spiritually. We become an embarrassment and a shame of ourselves, to ourselves. And we don't want Christians looking at us because we're in such a horrible state. We're uneasy as a Christian getting around Christians whose gardens are clean and whose gardens are kept free of the weeds and the thorns. And so we shun the kind of companionship we really ought to cultivate because it's embarrassing. We've let ourselves run down. It takes time to water the soil with prayer. It takes time to develop knowledge and skill by going to school, and that's what you're doing this morning. You're in classroom. It takes time to develop a skill and knowledge to use what you hear in Sunday school and church in your life and make it practical. It takes time. Many have the idea, well, I can just sit idly by and do nothing, and God will see to it that the briars and the thorns and the nettles and the grass and the weeds don't overtake me. That's wrong. That's wrong. The law of the soil applies to our spiritual soul. Either you work it, or it will revert back to the state it was in before you ever started to work. Another thing I want to say before I close. Now, I mentioned a while ago, in comparison, weeds grow a lot faster than good seed. They just do. Godly character takes weeks and months to develop. Ungodly character, it doesn't take but a couple of days. You can illustrate this. I don't invite you to do this, but you can quit church for 2 Sundays, and you'll already be surrounded by briars and weeds and grass that'll keep you away for years. You'll get bogged down in so many other activities that you won't even come back. But it took you more than 2 weeks to develop a habit and a love and a drive to come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. That may have taken you 6 months to get rid of all that resistance to coming and finally convince yourself this is the thing that ought to be done. This is the weed that ought to go so I can go to church. But you missed 2 times, and that same weed will be right back on you again, and it'll take you almost twice as long to get back, what we say, back in the habit again. The weeds go fast. They come back quick. They're like nutcrackers. You can take them after a day and go back in 3 days and you have 10 times more than you started with. But you don't have 10 times more peas or beans or radishes than you started with. You just don't. But you got the weeds. That's the law, not of the jungle, but I call it the law of the soil. Closing, how do I know it? Laziness is setting into my spiritual life? Number one, you begin to consider, how little do I have to do to get by? You're in trouble right there. How little do I have to do to get by? Rather than asking how much do I need to do to keep my garden free of thorns. Secondly, I begin to complain to myself about the sacrifices and the toil that I'm going to have to make to keep my garden free of thorns and weeds, spiritually speaking. If I begin to complain about it, I'm getting lazy. Alright? Quickly again, if I find myself not being very watchful, just saying, I don't think I'm going to check on it today, you're becoming lazy. And then last of all, if I begin to say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. And I'll substitute good intentions for good actions, I'm beginning to get lazy. Those are three, four good indicators. The law of the soil now is well established, and you and I are not going to revert it. You do nothing, or you do very little whatsoever, and the past thorns of your life, and the past weeds, and the past nettles that are gone will be right back where they started. That's the law of the soil. Father, we're thankful this day to know this, and we pray that we will all become spiritually energetic and not allow inactivity and neglect to destroy the gains that have been made in our life, in our character, in our spiritual conduct, in our morality. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.